On November the 13th of 63, I received a telephone call from the agent in charge of the FBI office in Atlanta. I was a first office agent. I had just come out of training school, and so I was going to work in the Atlanta office, and then he wanted me to go to the resident agency, so they transferred me down to Thomasville, Georgia. While I was down there and I received this telephone call, the boss said to me that there was a planned discussion that took place in Indianapolis, Indiana, the last week of October 63. And in that discussion, there was a man by the name of Joseph Adams Miltier, a man by the name of William Somerset, and two other men who they did not name. And they said that Miltier had made threats against the president. They said they were going to go ahead and kill the president as he left Homestead Air Force Base in Florida, driving up to the Kennedy compound in Palm Beach, and that they were going to secrete a sniper up in a palm tree who was willing to give his life, and that they were going to kill the president when he traveled that route on Collins Avenue. If that failed, the second backup plan was they had already rented an apartment behind Lafayette Park in Washington, D.C., and had already purchased a heavy-duty tripod with a heavy-duty weapon, and they were going to shoot the president on the portico or as he was walking on the front grounds, which he did frequently. So those were the two things that were discussed on November the 13th. The boss said he wanted me to get in and do as much work on Joseph Miltier as I could, all the background, and everything was going to be provided to the Secret Service, who made the initial request of the FBI to assist them. So I contacted the chief of police in Quitman, Georgia, where Miltier lived. I told Bill Elliott that I needed to work together with him. We needed to get as much data as we could, and we did. We went to every single possible place that you could think of. We went to the schools. We went to businesses. We went to the police departments, sheriff's offices. We found a set of fingerprints for Miltier at the Valdosta sheriff's office in the basement. We learned that he was living with a prostitute by the name of C.C. Cofield in Valdosta, Georgia, and that he spent more time with her than he did at his residence in Quitman, Georgia.
Don, what would his motivation be and his group?
They were radical, wild right-wingers, and they hated the Kennedys with a passion. And he mimeographed pages and pages and passed his hate literature out like you never saw, George. I mean, the man was obsessed. He literally, in his house, when the chief and I looked in the window of his house, he literally had walkways through mimeographed paper that he had printed out, and it was stacked as high as he could reach it. And the entire first floor of his house was nothing but corridors of a walkway through the all the mimeographed paper it had.
Is he still alive today, Don?
No, he's dead. He died in 1974. He had a coal stove blow up at his house in Quitman, Georgia. They took him to the hospital. They treated him. There's two versions. One says that he was very badly burned. The second one was that he wasn't badly burned and that he was returned back to his house. And then a week later, he died suddenly.
During the course of your investigation, were you ever able to tie him into any of these groups that we've heard about over all these years, Don, the mob or a Cuban faction or any, or even government?
Well, I couldn't tie him into any of those things, but he did tie into the Ku Klux Klan and all of those supreme organizations, the white supremacists of the South and this Constitution Party, which they were just forming, and things of that type. But he was in contact with some very prominent people in his travels throughout the United States. And so who his connections were or what they were, I don't know. I know that he was a very wealthy man. His father had left him $200,000 in those days, and he traveled extensively.
That's a lot of money in those days.
It was. It was a lot of money, and as a result of it, he became very, very dedicated to this task of killing the President Kennedy. He's talked about killing Martin Luther King, and he talked about killing Bobby Kennedy. And in the course of discussion about killing Bobby Kennedy, there was connections with Carlos Marcello and Sandro Trafficante, who were two mob guys, and they had a tremendous bitter hatred for Bobby Kennedy. And Carlos Marcello told Sandro Trafficante that we've got to kill this guy. We've got to kill Bobby Kennedy and take him out of this because he's destroying us as far as the mob operations is concerned in that. And so as a result of it, Trafficante said back to him, Marcello said back to him, wait a minute. If we kill Bobby, we're still going to have to deal with the president, and it'll be the wrath of God on us.
Yeah.
So let's take out Jack Kennedy first, who can't help him then, and that'll defeat Bobby Kennedy.
I will always remember when Oswald Don was arrested on television, you could hear him say, I'm a patsy.
I'm a patsy. That's exactly right. And he was.
Do you think he knew Miltier at all, or he just happened to be down in Dallas at the time?
He was in Dallas at the time. He didn't know Miltier, but he knew all the other people that were involved in that. I mean, he knew Marcello, and he knew Trafficante, and he had contacts, David Ferry and a bunch of people, former agent in charge of the Chicago office who was in New Orleans. So he had a lot of contacts. And the ironic part about it is that Jack Ruby and Lee Harvey Oswald were good friends in New Orleans.
But it's possible then, Don, that Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, everybody that Jim Garrison was pointing out, they might have known this guy, Miltier.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. They could have. There's no question about it. The only thing is that when they assigned him to me, it came as a result of that meeting in Indianapolis. And when we did our work on this, we found nothing concerning him tied up with any of these groups.
Okay, so you're in the investigation at 64. Miltier dies in 74. The FBI had 10 years to get this guy. What happened? Why didn't they let you go after him?
Because they didn't want to. I'm going to tell you, George, I've never seen an investigation as bad as this investigation was, as it was done.
Miltier or the entire Kennedy?
No, the entire Kennedy assassination. And I'm going to give you my views on this because I've been very vocal about this.
I know.
LBJ and JFK lived across, LBJ and J. Edgar Hoover lived across the street from each other in Washington. And they frequented each other every weekend for a lunch or breakfast. And they would discuss everything. When Oswald was named as the assassin, LBJ told J. Edgar Hoover that Lee Harvey Oswald is the assassin and nobody else. Once that word was passed to J. Edgar Hoover, that mentality was passed from Hoover through all of his associates and went down the entire line. And the entire investigation was geared towards Lee Harvey Oswald. And they did nothing, not a single thing in proper form as far as investigation is concerned, but concentrated totally on Lee Harvey Oswald. All of the shots that were fired and the people, how they came in there and where they were secreted to, nobody did anything on any of that stuff.